Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest. She is part of our podcast community. She has her own podcast on our channel, so I want you to look out for her. She is a wonderful astrologist. She is into self-discovery. She helps people find themselves, and she teaches them through astrology and other methods how to find the best version of themselves. And today she's going to talk a little about self-awareness, bringing it to the next level, and how to have compassion for yourself, and how to change the things in your life that aren't really making you happy. The little things in life that we can sometimes make little tweaks, and it can be a game changer for our entire life. And she's going to show you some tips and tools on how to do that. And once again, check her out on her podcast. She has amazing series and episodes there. And don't forget to like us and follow us and subscribe us and follow us. And because you're going to see a lot of great more episodes coming up, and we want you to be a part of our family. So, Claire, I love when you come on the show. You have such great insight, and you see things in such a different way than the regular person, because you see outside the box. You look at things from a different perspective. You're not like every other person who, you see the same thing over and over again. They say the same things that every other person says. You look at things from a unique perspective, and you have a great way of doing it. So maybe you could tell the audience and the listeners out there why you're so unique and a little bit different. Because you do things through astrology and you do things through different other methods that lead to self-discovery of oneself. So maybe you can explain, what you do to for others that haven't heard you already.
Well, first of all, thank you. What an intro. I appreciate that. And if you did know what my birth chart looked like, for anybody that is somewhat familiar, that's like the best compliment ever to me because I have so much Aquarius energy in my chart. And that is probably one of the most common tropes used to describe Aquarius is that they think outside of the box and that they are here kind of thinking differently, but specifically to kind of create a better society for all of us moving forward. It's that progressive, innovating, if something needs to change type of thinking for the collective's benefit. And that's something that I definitely feel is, innate in just the way that I approach life in general. And I know that if you have been listening to some of these, you might have heard me say that, but just if you haven't, I come from a very logical engineering-based background. That was my previous profession. So talk about a 180 here. And if you are a skeptic coming in listening to this, like I get it. I've been there. I was as well, not that long ago, 5 years ago, I would have definitely fallen into that category. But I think when it comes to, having those moments in your life where you do kind of feel that level of disconnection with yourself. You're kind of realizing, like we've talked about on some of our other episodes, that autopilot wake up moment. That for me was really when I started to hone and embrace this innate quality of thinking outside of the box. I was a problem solver, obviously, in my engineering role. That's what engineering is, essentially. So that served me there in a more traditional way. But I think the shift is now. How can I make the type of impact that I actually want to be making in this world? And something that's just so passionate in my heart because it was such a big part of my path is learning how to love your whole self, learning how to embrace and accept your whole self, obviously without becoming complacent. I think there's a level of acceptance involved while also still striving to be the best version of yourself. And I think astrology and some of the other tools I work with can be so valuable for that.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Now, for people who want to like kind of look and find self-discovery within them. They want to discover who they are. Many people struggle with that. It's so hard sometimes to figure out who am I? What's my purpose? What's my mission? You look in the mirror and you're just not happy with who you are. There's something missing, but you're clueless to what it is, but you just don't feel at whole. What are some of the things that you suggest, to help others who are going through that are trying to discover themselves and trying, or maybe even rediscover it in themselves?
Yeah, that to me, that's what I always say. I'm like, reconnect with yourself, because it's not like you weren't when you were a kid. It's the disconnection that comes over time with conditioning and expectations from society and, you know, all of like responsibilities of just being a human being. Like all of these things can kind of have us drifting away from what's at our core internally, just based on the way that we're actually living our lives externally. And I would say in most cases, that's subconscious. It's not something you're trying to do. It just happens over time, hence the autopilot situation.
Right.
So to me, I think that's why astrology really has been a tool that I have kind of made a cornerstone of my business and of my just the way that I kind of approach my life.
Yeah.
Because it is this map of your wholeness, for lack of a better way of putting it. That truly is what it is. You're seeing the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, you're seeing everything on a spectrum here. If somebody ever tells you, if an astrologer ever tells you, oh, you have a blank moon or a, you know, fill in the blank sign, and they're trying to paint it in a very black and white light, probably go look for another person to offer you insights on this. Because every single thing in any system, really, astrology just being one of them, is on a spectrum. And to me, that's one of my favorite parts of playing with my birth chart, my clients' charts, is figuring out where they are falling on that spectrum of each of their placements right now, and figuring out the low expressions of how that same type of energy might show up in them, what triggers that, what motivates it, what types of circumstances or people or situations might be playing a role in that. And also the other end of the spectrum, you know, okay, if there's a low end, there's also a higher expression. And it's really about kind of playing with it and experimenting and figuring out a way of living that actually allows you to accept that you are a human being.
Yeah.
And still strive to be the best version of yourself.
Right. You know, a lot of people will say, like, we talk about astrology, they know the zodiac signs and that's about it. You know, they know what their zodiac is, and, you know, but they don't understand astrology, you know, and how vital it is, and how it really, you know, it's crazy. But if you really go into astrology and you read up on it, and then you learn about your sign and what it stands for, and then you look at into all the factors that go into astrology, it's like it's talking to you, like it's a personalized message. It's so accurate to a T that it's kind of freaky in a sense. Can you explain to others, like, you know, how astrology works, and what, you know, and why it's so accurate, you know, because I think people who don't understand it as well don't understand the connection and why it plays such a vital role in our lives.
And I'm going to be honest with you here, like, obviously, this is one of those things where I always recommend get as much information as you can on this if you're interested in it. I'm not here to, you know, prove or disprove it, but I think one of the ways that my fact-focused engineering brain wrapped itself around it was, first and foremost, exactly what you just said. I can't deny my own experience, and I feel like someone is holding a mirror up to me for the first time in my life as I'm reading my chart and interpreting this. And that's been my experience with anybody that I have shared this information with, including the people who are coming at it from the angle of wanting to poke holes through it. It's like, well, I don't know why you know that, but that's really interesting. And so that's number one. And I think there is something to that, because that intuition piece is playing a role there. You know, that's resonating with something outside of our logical brains, and that's worth listening to. Aside from that, I think it's also helpful to just note that astrology is essentially geometry. It's quite literally angles and degrees and pattern recognition. That's really what it is. I kind of think of astrology in macros and micros, where back to the pattern recognition, this is a tool that's been studied by multiple different ancient civilizations for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And only in honestly relatively recent years, recent history, has it been, you know, kind of discredited or kind of pushed aside as a pseudoscience. And again, I don't really care about how you're viewing this. To me, quite frankly, astrology isn't even a belief system. It's a tool. It's a system to utilize to understand yourself better. Like, even if you don't subscribe to it, if you're getting triggered by what your moon sign is telling you, that's still telling you something about yourself.
Yes.
And that's worth listening to. So I think just knowing that it's recognizing, hey, if the planets have been doing this for thousands of years and people tend to behave in this way when they're born under this type of planetary configuration or when the planets are doing this in real time, that's where the information that we have is now coming from, where it might seem like it's getting pulled out of thin air, but it's because people were recording this for thousands of years.
Right. Exactly. And you know, how can people start to utilize this? Because it's, you know, so you would get the information, and then that would be the self-discovery part. So then after you have maybe with the help of an astrologer, you know, and you do your zodiac sign, and you fill in all the blanks, all the information it needs, and then you look at yourself. It's going to tell you, like, what aspects is it going to go over? Like, what are you going to learn about yourself?
Honestly, this is where you have a screenshot, essentially, of the sky on the day that you were born in relation to where you were born. And the time. And so because of that, again, since it's pattern recognition, it's looking at the themes that tend to happen when the planets are in certain configurations, you really can use this tool for whatever purpose you want at that point. And I think that to me is one of the most powerful reasons of why I personally keep coming back to it, why it's become a really big kind of anchor of my self-discovery process personally, but also with the people that I work with, because it doesn't really matter what you are wanting to kind of work through. It can be used for it. Do you want to find your purpose? Awesome. Let's look at your North Node. Let's look at your Venus. Let's look at your midheaven. Let's look at your sun. Do you want to learn about your career path? Great. Let's look at your second, sixth, and 10th houses. Let's look at your Saturn placement. Like, do you want to look at relationships? Awesome. Seventh house, 11th house, Venus, Mars. Like, there's, you truly can give me a category, give me a topic, and we can dive into what the chart has to say about these things. And then I think really the real work comes into play when it's like, okay, here's what it's saying. Now we're talking people to people. How is this actually showing up really in your life?
Right. Now you say that having compassion. So when you find out all this stuff and then you see things in your life that you're not really content with, you know, is that what you're referring to when you say have compassion? Like, don't be so hard on yourself.
100%. I think, again, this is where a lot of pop astrology that you might Google or that being in a magazine and horoscopes and things like that, it's usually going to focus on one end or the other. Like I was saying, everything's on a spectrum. It's either going to be gloom and doom and telling you you're going to break up this month, or like you're a bad person, you're two-faced, you know, fill in the blank, or it's going to be only focusing on the bright and shiny things. Yeah. And the reality is we all know, like, astrology aside, that's not how the world works. There is both light and dark. And that, again, like, that's macro, micro. That's happening on a collective level. It's also happening internally with all of us.
Yeah.
And I think for me, and what a lot of my clients tend to appreciate with these systems, and I think specifically with the way that I tend to approach it, is this is about looking at all parts. This is about seeing yourself in your wholeness. It's not only seeing the good parts in your chart and kind of neglecting the other parts that you don't want to see. And it's also not only looking at the challenge areas and neglecting that there are massive strengths that we can be leveraging here as well. It's like, how can we actually just take a step back and look at all of it, including the parts that you haven't been willing to see? And to me, this is one of the reasons that I think astrology can be so fun.
Yeah.
You're a human. You're evolving. Also, the planets are moving all the time, every day, for the rest of your life. And there are going to be times when you can go back to your chart. Even me, who does this for a living, I'm very familiar with my chart. I can literally just tell it to you by memorization right now.
Yeah.
I still, for the rest of my life, know that I will be able to go back to my chart and see something new and recognize a new pattern that I maybe wasn't able to see or willing to see previously. There's dot
Right.
connecting going on 100% of the time, which is
Yeah.
so fun.
I would think that sometimes you would look at your reading and then some things may not make sense, but then later on in life or, down the road somewhere, as the pieces start coming together and you start realizing, oh, that's what it meant, kind of thing.
For sure. I actually have a client literally right now that's going through that. I've been working with her for
Yeah.
over a year, and she's like, we did her chart reading, and then it kind of turned into just seasonal forecasts from there. And she's at this moment where she's like, I actually want to revisit it again because I feel this readiness to dive deeper into it that I wasn't really able to have a year ago. And now we have such a base understanding of the language behind it, and she understands the planets more. It's all just going to kind of sink in a different way than it did the
Right.
first time.
Wow. I think that is so amazing. Now, when people, want to make changes according to what they see on their charts and how they're feeling, what are some healthy ways to start changing yourself and rediscovering yourself and creating that new you? Are there things that you kind of, suggest to individuals who are looking to, change the person they are, that, and re, kind of rediscover that person that was maybe always there, but they kind of lost it, like you said, along the way?
Yeah, I think there's several different competing thoughts coming up in my brain right now about this. Again,
Yeah.
kind of depending on the angle that you're approaching it with and what you're looking for out of these systems. I would say, from the lens of looking at some of the more challenging aspects in your chart, like you just mentioned, where you do need to have that compassion for yourself, that can obviously be a really good place to look if you're wanting to kind of change patterns that feel ingrained and they feel like you identify with them, at this point in your life. They're a part of who you are, And I think on one hand, the chart can validate that and allow you to kind of remove some of the shame from the equation, which is usually what's happening when we start to feel that way, and when we continue to repeat something and feeling helpless to it, there's a lot of shame around it. And that's part of the reason that we can't actually change our behaviors around it moving forward. And so, to me, I think the chart allows you to see it and say, this is literally just a chart. Like, it's telling me that I was born to almost reflexively, instinctively behave in this way when certain things trigger me or in certain situations or whatever it may be. That allows you to have this level of acceptance around it that, to me, is the first step to actually making changes. You're probably not going to change it if you're continuously shaming it. You're going to be putting band-aids on it and trying to behave in a different way. And ultimately, I think you can fake it for a while, but that's not the kind of thing that's probably going to actually be integrated as a new behavior from an authentic place, at least. So to me, it's like seeing it, feeling validated that it's okay. Everyone has low spots in their charts, everyone has high spots in their charts. And when you see it that way, you're like, okay, I'm not a failure. I'm just prone. This is how I'm prone to kind of show my behaviors that I'm not so happy about, that I'm not so proud of. And I also now can see the other end of the spectrum of what that planetary placement and aspect can offer me. And that's where, for me, when I say like the taking self-awareness to the next level, that's kind of what I mean. I think a lot of people know, a lot of people have self-awareness and they know the patterns in themselves that they don't really like, or the habits or the thoughts or behaviors. And it's like, okay, but what are you doing about them? And this is where, for me, this level of awareness, because it shows you what's motivating it, what's triggering it, where it may tend to happen in your life. You're so much more likely to catch it real time versus just knowing that, yeah, sometimes I X, Y, and Z. It's like, actually, next time I get in a position where I'm going to play out that low road behavior, for me at least, I've noticed I am so much more likely to catch it live in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's where you actually break a pattern. That's where you actually change your behavior, not just want to change your behavior.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And what are some things that people could do to work on, you know, change and letting go of the shame? Because I think that's a big issue, but like a lot of times, because shame, you know, can make people, you know, just like kind of become stuck and, you know, they kind of bury themselves and they just don't, you know, they kind of hide from the truth and either they go in denial or they just, you know, they just look the other way. And I guess that's part of denial, you know? So how do we let go of shame? How do we get over it?
I mean, the first thing that's coming up to me right now is you have to be ready to, you have to hit the moment where you're no longer okay with playing out things the way that they have been.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, that is a part of the process. It, you know, it's similar to like an addict or something. Like they might want to stop, but until they actually are ready to stop, they're not going to, no matter how many people tell them and no matter how aware they are of the detriment that it's playing in their life, you know? And I think shame can be a similar thing. It's like, you might be ashamed of something, but until you've gotten to a point where you are no longer willing to accept that this is the only reality that you can have, it's probably not something that you're going to be ready to face. And that's okay too. I think you need to have compassion with yourself as well with that.
Yeah.
But I think when you are ready to do that, it doesn't make it easier. It doesn't make it less scary. It doesn't make you less insecure about these parts of yourself. I think the shift though, is that you are kind of shining a light on something that you've probably, to your point, been in denial about or pushing under the rug or just kind of become enslaved to in some type of way up to this point.
Yeah.
And you're actively playing a more intentional and conscious role in shifting it when you start to accept that it has become ingrained in your life and you don't want it to be anymore.
Right. Now, did you go through periods of your life where you've experienced shame? And if you did, how did you get over it? How did you overcome that shame so you could move forward?
Yes. I mean, I think that's like a human conditioned feeling.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Like, yeah. I love how Brené Brown puts it. I mean, she talks about it all the time. That's one of the biggest things she speaks to in her research. And I think just one of the biggest shifts for me around shame and my own kind of internalization of it, because that's really what it is. It's
right.
Is recognizing the difference between guilt and shame. And I think people conflate the two very often. When shame is when you feel guilty for something that you shouldn't be guilty for. You didn't actually do anything wrong, quote unquote.
Right.
Exactly. You know, you're just made to feel wrong, whether you're putting that shame on yourself or somebody else is, or maybe a previous voice in your head from a previous time in your life is putting that in your head.
Yes.
And guilt is when you actually did something that you do regret and you don't feel good about and you're feeling guilty about. And I think that's where it can be really challenging, because people are feeling what they think is guilt, but it's actually shame. And this shouldn't be something that is creating this kind of internalized stress and self-destructive patterns within you. And so I think for me, that was a really big turning point from like just a perspective shift around any layer of shame in my life. I will say, if I'm being totally honest with you, you can see it in my chart too. I have a lot of Pisces placements. I know you're a Pisces too. And mine is, my moon sign is my Pisces. And that's like basically how I internalize emotions, how I process emotions and things like that. And the long story short is I actually tend to have so much compassion for myself. Shame is not an emotion that I personally tend to feel often. I feel other types of challenging emotions all the time, but that's not one that I feel regularly because I'm not casting it upon myself, I'll say.
Yes.
And I honestly think that because of that, I do feel kind of uniquely able to hold space for people around these things, because from my early life up until now, I have been surrounded by people. I have themes of these types of people's charts, if you will, in my life that are the opposite. They hold a lot of shame, and a lot of it is self-inflicted. And I'm able, to your point, I think differently than I think a lot of people do. And I don't ever want to be love and lighting on people and, you know, kind of pushing their emotions and their feelings to the side. That's never my approach. But it's, again, it's about seeing your wholeness and seeing the whole picture and recognizing, like, would you ever treat me this way? Would you ever treat another person this way? And I think because of my own experience with shame and compassion, I really feel like I'm able to show up for people in that way. And I don't know, that was kind of a weird response, but that's what's coming up for me around that.
So, you know, I think it, you know, I feel the same way. I don't really experience shame very much, but I have a lot of compassion. You know, I have like a tremendous amount of compassion. So I think that overrides the feeling of shame, I think, like you said. And so for people who, you know, want to use astrology as a way to heal, what would be step number one? So if they wanted to get started, like, you know, go through the steps of what they need to do in order to be able to have their chart, you know, filled out and understand where they're coming from. And then, you know, step one, step two kind of thing.
Definitely. I would say I am so on board with you diving into your astrology and like figuring out these layers on your own. I also highly recommend getting a reading done for you, even if you intend to do that down the line. Like, I will say I've had multiple readings done on my own chart, even though I'm very well capable of interpreting it, just because it's different to have somebody else hold the mirror back up to you versus yourself. So that's step one. I would say, like, just don't downgrade it, even if you understand the language of astrology. The other piece I would say with this is, if you want to look at specific placements in here to really start healing some of these things, planets, some aspects that tend to really speak to our pain points, our insecurities, our deepest fears, are going to be Saturn. Saturn typically is going to give you insights into kind of your lifelong evolution that you're going to continuously have lessons around in different flavors, and you are going to kind of level up each time in terms of, you know, the way you approach it. It's not going to get easier per se, but you're going to have more experience with it every time and have a new perspective every time. So Saturn can be a really valuable one to dive into, because it's going to speak to kind of a core theme that you're evolving around, learning lessons around in your life. It does often speak to kind of where we tend to keep ourselves restricted by perceived limitations as well. So it can be really valuable to understand that, especially if you're not yet 29, because Saturn return is, or if you're approaching 60, same situation. And then Chiron, which is not a planet, but it is a placement that's in most charts that you're going to pull up on like a standard site. It's going to show your Chiron. In Greek mythology, we don't need to go down the details here, but it's called the wounded healer, is like kind of the synonym for Chiron. And this typically speaks to your core wound, your core insecurity that stems from early childhood, maybe even, you know, karmic roots there as well. And this is something that, hence the title Wounded Healer, is something that, even though it might be the source of your deepest insecurity, if you can start to give that some TLC and heal that wounding within you, it actually can be a really, really incredible strength, because you can start to heal other people who have that insecurity as well. Not only are you healing yourself, essentially, when you heal that wound, you're able to kind of pass that on, pay it forward, which is awesome. And then square aspects, squares and oppositions. I would say, honestly, mostly squares can be very challenging when we're talking back to the geometry and angles in a chart. So if things are 90 degrees apart from one another, that's a square. If things are 180 degrees apart from each other, that's an opposition. These are basically going to speak to these aspects that can create some kind of internal friction and tension within us, and typically are going to be a source of inner conflict in our lives. Again, it's not like, oh no, my chart's full of squares, I'm going to have a horrible life. It's like, no, you are actually here with an opportunity to learn a lot of lessons. And to me, I just like having the chart because it's context. Now you know, you're not sitting here feeling like a victim and like things are happening to you your whole life. You're like, wow, I can actively play a conscious role in understanding, oh, I actually know exactly why this is coming up for me right now. Wow. So those would be the first places. Obviously, there's a million other spaces, but I would say starting with those would be really, really valuable.
I love it. I love it. Now, if you had to take everything we talked about today and you wanted to summarize it and emphasize the important facts of what you know, we talked about, what are some things you'd really like to emphasize to the listeners today?
Great question. I think really just knowing that astrology is so much more than just self-discovery tool. It really can be a tool that you can leverage for breaking free from limiting beliefs, from tapping into your wholest, most authentic expression, for living out the best version of your life. It's not just, you know, it's not just the Enneagram or a DISC or like, you know, a personality assessment. It can go so much deeper than that, especially when you're approaching it through the lens of curiosity and compassion. Like, I'm truly a student of myself at this point. And that's really what I would say we kind of spoke to today, is the way to utilize astrology versus solely focusing on what are the planets doing today. There's obviously value in that. And I think that's what most astrologers are going to focus on. And honestly, most of what you're going to Google or see in a magazine is going to be focused on what's happening right now. But if you don't understand your own personal birth chart, to me, quite frankly, that's not that valuable. You really need to understand the basis and the foundation of you for that to even matter. Right. And so when you approach it with curiosity and compassion, you're able to kind of utilize those transits and what is happening in real time with the planets to shift some of those patterns, the more you want to dive into this.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And can things, it'll always, your life chart, basically your astrology chart will always remain the same, but it's you that can be changing or reconnecting. So you're always, it could, you know, it could be very different for you each time you go over your chart, because it's dependent on the pathway you're taking, or if you get disconnected and maybe you're going down a different pathway and you can catch things, maybe, like you said, before they become a real issue and so forth.
100%. I think a lot of people look at it and they're like, they have a problem with it because they think it's faded, because it doesn't change. But back to the spectrums, it's like you are playing out different ends of that spectrum at any given point in your life. And I think the other thing, when we do fold in the where the planets are real time, the transits, you can see exactly to what you said. There are going to be times in your life when different parts of your chart are going to play a much more prominent role and may land in a different way than they did. You know, if you're thinking about it, like, is the 40-year-old version of you really going to approach anything in the same way that the 20-year-old version of you did? No,
right,
the same will be true with this. You're going to see different parts of yourself when you look at it at different times in your life.
That's very cool. Now, what are some of the services you provide? Can you tell people about all the different things that you do?
Yeah, for sure. So I do birth chart readings, and I also do human design readings. And so those are separate, both fascinating. I always recommend starting with birth chart if you haven't had either, because it's kind of a base level for you to understand the human design piece. And then for people that want to take it deeper, as you heard with that client that I mentioned, you can start with a reading and then turn it into a coaching package where we're actually working together. Those are always going to be customized based on what you're needing, wanting, all of that. But I find that that can be really helpful if you are really resonating with these systems and finding that you're actually making changes just from knowing your birth chart, kind of having that pocket astrologer to help you navigate this. So you don't have to learn all this information on your own. That can be very, very valuable. And then I also, at the end of this month, it's October as we record this, at the end of this month, I do have a kind of joint coaching container coming up with a marketing agency. And so it's basically blending human design with intuitive marketing. And it's so fun to just kind of approach your business, entrepreneurship, marketing from the lens of your unique energetics.
Yes, definitely. Oh, that's very cool. That's very cool. Now, where can people find you?
Best place would just be my website. So clairecampagna.com. And then my Instagram will be linked there, but it's Claire period Campagna, pretty straightforward. And I would say those are probably the two most active spaces. Those are great places to reach out to me. And if you can't tell from this podcast series, I am just a nerd and like talking about these topics. So please feel free to reach out to me if you just want to engage in conversation around this.
And you have a newsletter, correct, that they can sign up to?
I do. Yes. Thank you. I have an email list that I do not spam people at all. It truly is an every other week situation because that's what's going to time up. Every month we have a new moon and a full moon, 2 weeks windows in between. So I send out kind of the forecast around each of the new and full moons and give you specifics based on your rising sign with that. And obviously update on any fun things and conversations like this in there as well.
Very cool. Oh, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really do appreciate you coming on the show. And is there anything else that you'd like to like maybe add to before we go? Is there anything that comes to your mind that you just want to tell the listeners before we go?
The word intention was what popped in my head. So I think just if you do feel called to dive into your birth chart and into astrology, that might be something that's really helpful to identify as what is my intention.
Right.
Even every time you decide to look at your chart and approach it, I think that might be something worth sitting with versus just looking at it and then moving on with your life. What's your intention that you're trying to actually get out of this so that you can actually utilize it as a tool, not just another cool thing telling you something about yourself and then move on.
Right. Oh, I love it. I love it. I definitely think you should go with your gut feeling and go with your intentions. If your intention tells you, do it, you know, don't question it, just do it, you know, definitely 100%. Wow. This has been great, Claire. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I look forward to our other shows together. And this has been really insightful. I really enjoyed, you know, looking at it from the whole spectrum and how learning about how our charts could really guide us in our lives and really put us back on the right pathways when we do disconnect, because everybody disconnects at some time or another, some people more than others, but it's when you have a chart and you can learn how to utilize it, it can be definitely beneficial to your own overall, you know, life in general.
I completely agree. Thank you for having me. And that's always my goal. I'm like, I just want to bring awareness so you know this exists.
Yes.
If and when you ever feel ready to explore it.
I love it. Thank you so much. This has been awesome. I really appreciate coming on this show. And you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.